Hey guys, I'm trying something new. This is mainly for me, and the way I've had it envisioned in my head is that these are going to be like little primer episodes. And these are just going to be like little 10, 15-minute episodes that focuses on high yield stuff. And in health assessment, the high yield stuff is going to be the abnormalities or the unexpected findings. And the prioritization for nurses, nursing implications, and stuff like that. And so the way that I have it envisioned in my head is that you would listen to this primer before you start diving deep into that particular material. That way you can know in the back of your mind what abnormal is. That way when you read what normal is, you can understand, okay, this is normal, this is abnormal, and how does it fit together? Okay. So this is just going to be an experiment for myself just to see if it helps with my grades or whatever. But for future episodes, if it does work, it'll be like, for instance, this one will be CV Primer because this episode is going to be over the cardiovascular and neck veins and assessment of those of that particular system. So it'll be like HA Primer CV neck veins or something like that, whatever I decide to name it. So you just kind of listen to it real quick, read, and then you can do whatever it is that you do after that, right? So this is what this is. This is basically going to be just all the abnormalities of the CV system when you're assessing it, okay? So again, this is going to be the primer of the cardiovascular and neck veins. Enjoy.
Patient's here.
Oh, patient's here. Patient's here.
Oh boy, got some blood going.
Yeah, this is blood.
Well, he's wearing it too.
Welcome to the bay. When you get over to the bed, we'll go ahead and give you the story. This is all going to happen super fast. Welcome to the emergency room.
70-year-old female, single driver of a vehicle, appears that she went off-road into a ditch, rolled over her car onto a trailer, caved in the top of the vehicle, was caved in, so she was hanging out partially from the window.
She has a 22-finger left hand.
For 45 minutes of CPR. We can stop CPR. 6 over. 6 over. 6 over.
Welcome to the deep dive. So, today we're doing things a bit differently.
Yeah, we're skipping right past the normal stuff.
Exactly. No textbook review of a standard heart and neck vessel assessment. We're focusing purely on the abnormal.
The red flags, the things that make you stop and think, okay, this needs action now.
Because spotting these things quickly, well, it ties right back to basic safety, doesn't it? ABCs, stroke risk.
Absolutely. Recognizing these signs can be the difference in protecting airway, breathing, circulation, and preventing really serious outcomes.
Okay, let's jump right in. Head-to-toe warnings, starting with the neck and subjective data. Chest pain is always urgent, obviously.
Right.
But you mentioned a specific kind of pain description that dials the urgency up to 11, like life or death immediate.
That's right. If your patient says the pain feels like tearing or ripping, especially if it's going to their back or neck.
Tearing or ripping.
Yes. You need to think aortic dissecting aneurysm. Immediately. This isn't a wait and see or let's get some tests. It's activate emergency response, likely surgical. Life-saving intervention time.
Okay, got it. Moving to what we can see in the neck assessment. Jugular venous pressure, JVP. Normally, it's kind of subtle, hard to spot.
Usually, yeah.
So when is it abnormal? What are we looking for?
You're looking for significant distension. So if you see that pulse, that pressure wave, clearly visible, say, more than 2 to 4 centimeters above the sternal angle.
Bang, old Louis.
Exactly. And critically, if it's still visible when the patient is sitting up at 45 degrees or even higher, that's the flag.
And what does that distension tell us physiologically?
It's basically showing fluid backup, increased central venous pressure, the system's overloaded.
So that points typically to fluid overload, maybe right-sided heart failure.
That's the most common cause, yes. But you absolutely cannot stop there.
Why is that? What's the immediate danger?
Because that same sign, that JVD, could also mean something acutely life-threatening, like a massive PE, a pulmonary embolism, or even cardiac tamponade pressure building around the heart.
Wow. Okay, so JVD means the heart's struggling. Could be chronic failure. Could be an emergency. High alert.
Very high alert. Investigate immediately.
All right, shifting from looking to listening, the carotid arteries. If we put the bell of our stethoscope over the carotid and hear that blowing, swishing sound, a brute.
A brute.
That tells us the artery's narrowed, right?
Yeah.
Stenosis.
Precisely. That turbulence, that swoosh, means there's narrowing. And that narrowing significantly bumps up the risk for a TIA, a mini stroke, or a full CVA.
And there's a critical nursing point here, isn't there, about the order of assessment?
Absolutely crucial. You must auscultate, listen, before you palpate the carotids.
Why is that so important?
Because pressing on a potentially diseased carotid artery, especially in older adults or anyone you suspect might have cardiovascular issues, can actually trigger a vagal response.
Ah, dropping the heart rate.
Dangerously low, potentially. So listen first, always.
Okay. And when we do get to palpation, feeling the carotids, what are the red flags there?
You're feeling for symmetry, first off.
Yeah.
Are they equal? Then the quality. Are they really weak or maybe bounding too strong? Both are abnormal.
And you can sometimes feel something else, too.
Yes, you might feel a thrill. It's like a palpable vibration, almost like a cat purring right over the artery.
A thrill? And that means?
That suggests pretty severe turbulence, likely significant stenosis or arteriosclerosis, another major warning sign.
Okay, let's move to the heart itself now. Listening first. What about irregular rhythms?
If you pick up an irregular heartbeat when you're listening to the apical pulse, your next immediate step is checking for a pulse deficit.
Which is comparing the apical rate, listening at the heart, with the radial rate at the wrist for a full minute.
For full minute, yes. And if there's a difference that the apical rate is higher than the radial rate, that's your pulse deficit.
What does that deficit signify?
It tells you not all those heartbeats are strong enough to actually perfuse blood out to the periphery. It often indicates rhythms like atrial fibrillation or atrial flutter.
And the nursing action.
Immediate referral. This needs further evaluation, ECG, potential treatment to stabilize the rhythm and ensure adequate perfusion.
Got it. What about extra heart sounds beyond the normal lub-dub, things like gallops? Let's talk S3.
Right, the S3 sound, sometimes called a ventricular gallop. It's an extra sound heard in diastole after S2. Sounds kind of like Kentucky.
Kentucky. And what does that usually mean?
Pathophysiologically, it often means the ventricle is really struggling to handle the volume of blood coming into it. It's frequently associated with significant heart failure, like severe CHF. It suggests the heart's compensatory mechanisms are failing.
And other extra sounds. Like rubs?
Yes, a pericardial friction rub. It's a different quality, sounds more like leather rubbing together, kind of scratchy or grating, and you might hear it in both systole and diastole.
What does that suggest?
Usually indicates inflammation of the pericardium, the sac around the heart, so pericarditis.
So any extra sound S3, a friction rub, needs careful documentation and follow-up.
Absolutely. They are crucial clues pointing towards significant underlying problems like heart failure or inflammation. Don't ignore them.
Okay, last piece. Feeling the heart, palpation of the pericardium, the chest wall over the heart. Normally, the apical impulse is just a little tap, right?
Yeah, typically small, maybe 1-2 finger breaths wide around the 5th intercostal space, midclavicular line.
So what's abnormal? What if it feels bigger or stronger or in the wrong place?
Right. If that impulse feels like it's shifted laterally towards the axilla, or if it feels much larger, covering a wider area, that's significant. Or if you feel a sustained, forceful thrust upwards against your hand, that's called a heave or a lift.
A heave or a lift sounds dramatic. What does that indicate?
It strongly suggests ventricular hypertrophy. The heart muscle, usually the ventricle, has gotten thicker and larger.
Why would it do that?
Usually because it's working against increased pressure, like in hypertension or aortic stenosis, or handling excess volume, like in certain valve regurgitations. Mm-hmm. Think hypertrophic cardiomyopathy too. It's the heart physically showing it's under strain.
And just like in the neck, can you feel a thrill over the heart area too?
You can, yes. A palpable vibration, often felt best near the sternal border, maybe 2nd or 3rd intercostal space on the left.
And that would point towards?
Often indicates severe valve problems like aortic or pulmonic stenosis. Significant turbulence again.
So really feeling that lift or hearing that S3, you're a brute. It instantly changes the game.
Yeah.
Takes it from a routine check to urgent assessment.
That's the core message. Recognizing these specific abnormal sounds or feels immediately shifts your clinical judgment and your priorities.
Okay, powerful stuff. So to wrap up, let's leave you with a thought to chew on. Imagine you have a patient with both a palpable lift or a displaced apical impulse, and they're telling you they have orthopnea, they get short of breath when they lie flat. Mm. Which of those findings, the physical sign of hypertrophy or the subjective symptom of breathing difficulty, drives your immediate ABC prioritization? And why? Think about how that structural change connects directly to their breathing. Food for thought.